Okay. It was, of course, because Ray has told me about the Spanish TV company. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, the thing is, we've got a play coming on the theatre. I've renamed the Neptune Theatre in Liverpool from the Neptune to the Epstein Theatre. And we've got a play coming on called Epstein. And the actor that is in the play, who's playing Brian, is from Coronation Street. I know his real name is Andrew. Oh gosh, might come to me while I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
But he played the part that he was murdered by mother in the storyline Coronation Street. And of course, people are interested in that, and we've done an interview together today, talk about Brian Epstein, and the Neptune, the Epstein Theatre.
Yeah.
So that's the interest there.
Because we get so much of the dialogue, obviously, on the Spanish TV, and very often we see somebody that we know, and I've got to try and quickly understand everything that's being said before our English comes in, you know.
Yes, well, the thing is, I don't know if this helps you, but there's a translator with me while I'm being interviewed.
Yeah.
So it's being translated, whatever I say, into Spanish. So the interview is I'm being interviewed by two people, really. A Spanish lady, I don't know her name, I'm sorry. But there's an English guy who translates. So it's quite comfortable, and I'm enjoying it. We've done it today in the St. Peter's Hall.
Yeah.
Where Paul McCartney first met John Lennon. That was way before Brian Epstein and myself ever knew the Beatles, because they were called the Quarrymen then. Now that part of the story is over, and they're coming to me to my house tomorrow to talk about my involvement with the Beatles and Brian Epstein, because I was the original booking manager.
Yes.
In Liverpool with Brian.
Is it true, this story that you hear every now and again, that when Jimi Hendrix gave his first concert at the Apollo Theatre,
he
said he wouldn't go on without you in the crowd?
Exactly.
It's true, is it?
It is true.
Wow.
Well, the thing is, I was in Hamburg at the time. I was the stage manager there for 4 years.
Yeah.
And through that period, the Animals came to appear at the Star Club, and of course Chas Chandler, being the bass player in the Animals, phoned me 1 year later after they'd appeared at the Star Club and other Star Clubs, which we had franchises all over Germany. They played a gig for us in Berlin and places like that, Munich. Then 12 months later, Chas phoned me. He said, "Joe, I'm in New York now. You know, as you know, the Animals have broken up, and I'm living in New York now." I said, "Yes, I know. You're living in the Village." He said, "That's right." So I said, "What can I do to help you?" So he said, "I've discovered somebody while I'm here." He said, "And he's very, very good." He said, "So I'd like to bring him to Europe, but I'd like the Star Club to be the stepping stone into Europe."
Yeah.
So I made the arrangements with Chas Chandler. I said, "Well, I haven't seen him, but I do believe that you know what you're talking about. But if you would like to bring him over at your expense to Hamburg, to the Star Club, I'll give him a weekend booking." I said, "And you pay his airfare, you pay his hotel. If we like him, we'll keep him, and then we'll negotiate a contract to include whatever you spend to bring him over here. But if we don't like him, he'll have to go back, or whatever you want to do with him."
Yeah.
So, as we all know, he came to the Star Club Hamburg really just for a weekend, a three-night thing, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But he was there for 6 weeks at the Star Club. He was brilliant. and he was a beautiful person to look after, and we became quite friendly. So Chaz phoned me up. He said, can you arrange for Jimmy to come home now? When he said come home, he meant to London. He said to me, I've arranged for him to appear at the Apollo. I've done all the publicity, posters everywhere. I've got some interviews for him at radio stations. So naturally I said yes, and I took him to Hamburg Airport, waved him off goodbye. Maybe thought that was the end of that, you know, made a nice friendship. Bye-bye, Jimmy. Then about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from Chaz Chandler in London, and he said to me, Joe, I've got a problem. I said, what is it? He said, I've got Jimmy coming on at such a time next week. He's been rehearsing. We've got the publicity out, posters everywhere. But he has said, I'm not going on that stage unless Joe Flannery's in the audience. He looked after me.
So lovely.
I said, well, at the time, I used to go once a month to London to pick up albums, the 12-inch albums that we used to buy, if you remember.
Yeah.
There was 12-inch singles, disco stuff and that. We didn't have a disco at the Star Club, but we played records in between the setups of the bands and things. So I used to go for the best and the top, whatever was selling well or doing well in the UK. So I used to go, I said, well, as it is, Chaz, I'm coming over to London to, I'm meeting up with Brian Epstein at his office, and that particular week I booked the Pretty Things. Anyway, I was taken to the Apollo on the opening night of Jimmy's concert, and the curtains open. I don't know if you're familiar with the Apollo. It's a beautiful theatre, really.
Yeah.
And it has the most beautiful deep, I'll never forget them, deep purple curtains with gold fringe about 2 feet deep along the bottom of them. And I remember them opening, and they were on like hydraulics. And it was announced, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from America, blah, 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 meet our new star. And I heard the curtains go, shh. That was the hydraulics working, opening them up.
Yeah.
And there was Jimmy with a purple light on his face, just on his nose, if you like.
Yeah.
And then it broadened, went bigger and bigger. And he just said, hey, Joe.
Oh, fantastic.
And then he touched his nose.
Yeah.
Like Paul McCartney does when he's talking.
Yeah.
Jimmy touched his nose, he said, but we'll go into that one later on. Concert.
Fantastic.
Now, I was left crying.
Well, you would be.
Cry.
Yeah.
The tears were rolling down my face.
Yeah.
When he was on.
And
for that announcement.
Is it also true that you discovered ABBA?
Well, I didn't discover ABBA. They were the Beat Boys at the Star Club. I brought them to the Star Club very, very early in their career. There was no girls with them, and they were called the Beat Boys.
Right.
And that's my meeting and having ABBA on the Star Club Hamburg.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about a place in Germany, and, of course,
yes,
both of us come from Merseyside. How did you sort of start getting into the business in the way that you went into it?
Well, originally, I was a singer myself. In the beginning, I was a singer with Ken Dodd.
Right.
I was the singer, he was the comedian, and we used to say to each other, if I get a booking, a date, tell them that you know this comedian, blah, 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 and he would be with me. And if he got a date, he would say, I know that I've got a singer. Well, I used to sing all the American big songs, like I used to sing Nat King Cole and Eddie Fisher, Al Martino, the big hit that he had, Here in My Heart.
Yes.
And I used to sing those. Then I was on a pub on West Derby Road in Liverpool, just by the Grafton Rooms.
Yeah.
And on the Grafton was Joe Loss and his orchestra.
Ooh.
And the singers from the Joe Loss Orchestra came over to the pub for their pint, because there was no beer in the grafting rooms in those days. It was Coca-Cola or coffee. And they came over and they were sitting in the audience and I was singing. And the female singer, I've just forgotten her name now. I'm terrible on names, you'll have to excuse me.
Okay.
But she came over to me and she said, "We've got a singer, one of us is leaving the Joe Loss Orchestra. You'd be perfect to replace." And the one that was leaving was Larry Gretton, who was Elvis Costello's father.
Wow.
And he was leaving Joe Loss to join the Black and White Minstrels.
Yeah.
So she said, "Come over to me. Are you going to the Grafton after you've finished here?" And Paula said, "Yes, I always go over to the Grafton for the late night dance."
Yeah.
I like dancing. Dancing. And anyway, I went over and she said to me,